Matthew 26 today on Through the Word. Rejection. We've all been through it. Family, friend, boyfriend, girlfriend. Rejection hurts, and Jesus knows it. Jesus went through it. Rejected by those he came to save. Imagine that. A doctor refused by the sick, or a firefighter rejected by people trapped in a fire. Here in the course of one night, we will see Jesus rejected by the religious leaders, abandoned by his closest companions, and betrayed by a friend. But first, we back up a couple of days to begin the chapter on Tuesday. It's Passover week, and Jerusalem is bustling with the crowds of visiting Jews who have come to celebrate and to remember that God saves his people. Verse 3. Then the chief priests and elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. The chief priests and elders have had enough. They've talked for a while about getting rid of Jesus, but now they've agreed it's time. But not just yet. In verse 5, but not during the festival, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. Jerusalem is packed with people, and the priests want to kill Jesus quietly, without attention. But God has another plan. Jesus has already told his disciples that he would be killed at Passover, and 1 Corinthians 5 calls Christ our Passover Lamb, the spotless Lamb who rescued us from death itself, and God's timing would not be thwarted by the plans of wicked men. While this was going on, Jesus was in a town called Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. Verse 6, while Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. John's gospel tells us this woman was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. She pours out the expensive perfume, anointing him with fragrant oils. It seems that she's been listening to Jesus more carefully than the disciples have. After all, he tells them all that he would be crucified. In verse 12, he says, when she poured perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. But not all the disciples were pleased with this act of worship. Verse 8, when the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and money given to the poor. Now, John also tells us that the ringleader of the angry response here was Judas. The reason he was upset was that he was the official treasurer, and he was skimming money off the top. If Mary had just donated the perfume, Judas could have made some cash on it. He was so upset that he sought out the chief priests and offered to betray Jesus to them. I've often wondered at this man, Judas. It's hard to know what was going inside his twisted mind, to betray a savior. But then, I wonder if people today, who twist faith in order to fleece a few bucks off God's people, they trade heaven for a Rolex, and every tick on that diamond watch brings them closer to hell. Well, we move forward 2 days, and in verse 17, the disciples are making plans to celebrate the Passover meal. Passover is a beautiful tradition, and the great feast to celebrate God's deliverance out of Egypt, found in the book of Exodus. There at the dinner, Jesus announces in verse 21, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. The disciples are shocked, and all begin asking, Is it me? Jesus answers in verse 23, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it was written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It will be better for him if he had not been born. There was a traitor in their midst. When Judas asked if it was he who would betray Jesus, Jesus effectively says, yes. What's beautiful about this passage, though, is despite his coming arrest, torture, and death, Jesus celebrates a feast that's about life and redemption, namely ours. In fact, Jesus fills the meal with new meaning. Now, if you haven't caught on yet, this meal was the one we called the Last Supper. And there at the table, Jesus breaks bread with his friends. For the Jews, sharing bread is a sign of fellowship, togetherness. It's the same bread that's part of me and part of you. And according to Jewish custom, before the Passover meal, a special stack of three flatbreads were wrapped together. A second of the three was removed, broken in half. And they would wrap the broken bread in linen cloth, and the master of the table would hide it. The kids would all search, and the finder won a special prize. And some speculate that Jesus chose this bread to share with his disciples and begin the tradition we call communion. In verse 26, take and eat. This is my body. But consider the symbolism. The three pieces together like a trinity. The second piece removed, broken, as Jesus' body would be broken for us, wrapped in linen and hidden away in a tomb. And whosoever finds the risen Son of God, there is indeed the prize of all prizes. Now, the cups of wine at the Passover table also came with much ceremony and purpose as well. The cup that Jesus took in verse 27 was likely the last of four traditional cups on the table, commonly called the cup of Elijah or the cup of redemption. This cup was usually left full as the Jews would leave a place setting for Elijah just in case he came. Remember, the Jews were looking for Elijah to come before the Messiah. But here, Jesus takes the cup and shares the cup of redemption with his disciples. And as he does, in verse 28, he says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." It is the blood of Jesus that brings our redemption. But after the meal was finished, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Judas has already left to find the chief priests, but he's not the only one that will abandon Christ. Verse 31, then Jesus told them, "This is the very night you will all fall away on account of me. As it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Jesus knew they would run away, but Peter, being Peter, is still confident. Verse 33, "Even if all fall away on account of you, Lord, I never will." Verse 34, "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Well, they meant well. Their spirit is willing, but their flesh is weak. And Jesus moves on to a garden called Gethsemane. And there he pours out some heart-wrenching prayers before his Father. He knows what's coming, but he submits humbly to his Father's will. If it's the only way to save us, Jesus will do it. But his disciples fall asleep. No time for sleeping now, though. Under cover of darkness, Judas leads the priests along with a battalion of soldiers to Jesus. They arrest him, and in verse 56, "Then all the disciples deserted him and fled." Funny how a couple of hours and a few hundred soldiers can change everything. But Peter comes back and follows Jesus at a distance. He sits down in the courtyard of the high priest as Jesus is taken to Caiaphas for a pre-dawn trial. Peter pretends that he's just there to see what the commotion is about. When a girl recognizes him as one of Jesus' disciples, Peter at first simply denies it. Then another girl, and Peter this time swears an oath. A third accusation comes like Jesus said it would, and in verse 74, "Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, 'I don't know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed." Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside, and he wept bitterly. The trial has begun. The Son of God stands accused in the courts of man. The hypocrites, the men whom Jesus called the sons of hell and vipers, finally have Jesus in their den. Their claws are bared, their mouths salivate. The sun has yet to rise. This is their hour when darkness reigns. Thankfully, it's not the end of the story. Matthew 26. Join me for Matthew 27 for the rest of the story on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.